It's fine. This show ain't about quality. So welcome to it.
Yeah, thanks.
So how did you guys get started? How did you end up together?
That's a good question. We built the first version of Workflow at a hackathon called MHACS, University of Michigan. And I met Conrad at a jailbreaking conference a couple years ago, and I met Nick and Viral. Viral's not here right now, but we all met at Apple's WWDC conference. And so we all got together at this hackathon and built Workflow.
You made it sound way too easy for what you must have gone through.
Oh, wait, let's rewind a bit.
To meet or to build Workflow? Go on.
Well, meeting makes sense. Let's go through each of you.
Totally.
How did you get interested in computers first? And I know it's kind of a trite question, but it's kind of the, you know, it's what we do, yeah, on the show a little bit. Like, let's hear about your origin story a little.
Sure, let's go with Conrad first.
Yeah, so I started with iPhone when I was like 14 or so. I think that was iOS 3 or 4. I built a jailbreak tweak called Graviboard, mm-hmm, which made all your icons fall around. It was a really fun tweak, and it was my first actual real product.
So you install this thing on your phone if you're jailbroken, and you hit a button, and all of a sudden all your icons have gravity and they fly all across the screen. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah,
for everybody else, this is before Apple supported any of that stuff. It was your own code, right?
Yeah, well, it was a jailbreak tweak, but you know, it modified.
Yeah, but I mean, like the physics stuff came in like what, iOS 7, and this was 3 or 4 kind of thing. Yeah. Like you, yeah,
definitely, yeah. So
you jailbroke and then built in the physics.
Yeah, yeah. It actually uses the same physics engine Apple uses for UIKit Dynamics. But after I did a lot of jailbreak stuff, I did an internship at Airbnb. I worked on their iOS team out here in San Francisco. And then I started working with Ari, and here I am.
That's a very short story.
Yeah.
Nick just got a text message, but...
All right, yeah. So I started in like 2008, around the same time when the first iPod Touch came out, and I got into the jailbreaking scene. I was really interested in like the Winterboard customization, like themes. And so I created this website where you could build your own themes with a friend of mine from Houston, and ended up getting hundreds of thousands of users, and then just sort of kept going into this iOS dev direction.
So wait, that's interesting. You mentioned that the iPod Touch,
right,
was impetus. Was that because of the price point, or like you didn't want a phone, or what?
Yeah, I didn't even have a cell phone at the time. It was only like $200, and it was like the first device I'd had that could carry around with me the internet connection.
So you wanted to explore it,
and right?
And that was the gateway drug, right?
Yeah,
And how did you come up? Like, how did you get into computers in the first place? Were you always a low-level kind of person, or were you like a web kind of person, or what?
I started out as a web person. Just like very early on, I was making these like short films with my friends and started producing these custom video effects, and then made a website to show them off. Just went from there.
All of you guys are so minimal. All right, who's next? Yeah, I was eating spaghetti, and then I made an awesome app. Like,
it almost sounds, I'm not going to cast aspersions, but it almost sounds unbelievable.
It almost sounds,
well, boring. I mean, yeah. No, I like it. I like the lack of self-aggrandizement.
I'll tell my boring story. let's see. When I was younger, I started getting really obsessed with Apple products, and I got an iPod for my birthday, and I thought it was really cool, but I don't know. Like, I knew there was a CPU in there and could probably do more stuff than play music, and I discovered this thing called iPod Linux, where you can actually put Linux on your iPod and do all sorts of crazy stuff, like play Game Boy games, or play videos before they had support for videos on the iPod.
It was like a little computer.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. But, you know, the software on there only played music. So I got like kind of involved in that community. That was in like 2005 or 2006. And then like Conrad and Nick got into jailbreaking after that, worked on some of the first jailbreaks, made one called iJailbreak, and worked with some people on Green Poison and Purple Rain. And what else happened? I made an app with Conrad called Deskconnect on the App Store. That was like my first App Store app. And then we got together and made Workflow. Oh, yeah. Conrad and I moved out to San Francisco. I did 1 year of college at MIT, and Conrad graduated high school, and Nick actually graduated high school at the same time. And Conrad and I received this thing called the Thiel Fellowship. And basically they give you $100,000 to drop out of school and work on whatever you're passionate about for 2 years. So it's a pretty incredible opportunity. So that's what got us out here, like with the time to be able to work on, you know, the stuff that we're really excited about, rather than just spending all our time in school right now.
Well, congrats. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was the process like applying for that? And I mean, how many tacos did you eat once you got that much money?
Well, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of tacos and burritos out here in San Francisco, so it's pretty great. It'd be hard to estimate how many we've eaten.
Just in tonnage, raw tonnage.
The application process is you just fill out a really long application. It's actually a lot shorter now. If anyone is 20 or under and interested in doing that kind of thing, you should go to thielfellowship.org and apply. Actually, it's too late for this year, but for next year, because it's a pretty cool program. And the application is way shorter now than it was when we did it. I forget what the question was.
How far that goes.
What was it like applying for this scholarship? And by the way, you guys are being incredibly humble.
Yes.
Which I admire. But cut it out. I mean, come on. You're on stage here. Put it up a little bit. Come on. You won the scholarship. Let's hear about it. What was the submission process like? What did you submit? What happened? What was feedback like?
Yeah, so you submit this thing, and it's kind of interesting because you sort of say, hey, you know, what do I want to be working on in 3 months, and what do I want to be working on in 2 years, and what do I want to be working on in 5 years, and, you know, if I were to get the fellowship, what kind of project would I do? And so for Conrad and I, you know, we just talked about wanting to make software that makes iOS more powerful. You know, all these people are trying to get work done on, you know, mobile devices like, you know, iPhones and iPads. And we feel like the software on these things just isn't really as good as it needs to be to get real stuff done. And so, you know, our goal is to make really great software that makes it easier to do that stuff. So that's the idea we sort of applied with. And we hadn't even made Workflow yet when we did that. And then the application process, they interview you, and you get to talk to the mentors and other fellows in the community, which is cool. And then you just sort of, they're like, oh, like you made it to the next round. And then it's the semi-finalists, and they fly you out to San Francisco, and you get to meet all the other finalists. And
40 of us.
There were 40 of us out here, and it's a really interesting group of people. And then you do this presentation, like very stressful 2-minute presentation in front of a bunch of people. And, I had like somehow managed to not get any sleep the prior night because I was like flying here because it was the same weekend as like exams and my brother's bar mitzvah and all this crazy stuff. And so it was like an insane time, but anyway, we made it.
Yeah. Okay. So wait, let's put a pin in that presentation because I want to come back to it, but I want to give you a little bit of a breather because
okay.
You've opened up a little bit, and I appreciate that. what did you learn from the other people that were presenting with you? or during this process?
Well, it was pretty interesting to hear about the types of things everyone else was working on. I mean, it's kind of funny to go up on stage and talk about how you want to make better productivity software, and then the next person comes on stage and is like, oh, I want to cure cancer. And you're like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah.
You're like, no, give the money to that guy.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that was pretty interesting, and it was really cool to meet the other people who were applying, and a lot of them ended up getting in. Very impressive people working on awesome stuff, and it's cool to be in the same community.
Well, okay, so that you're already talking CEO talk, which I like, but. From a technical level, or from just a way of approaching the way that you look at your software, did you learn anything from the other people applying to this program?
Yeah.
And I know I'm being a jerk, and I'm really trying to I'm like kind of holding you down here a little bit. But,
not at all. Yeah. Please. It's interesting.
I would say that everyone applying was in an expert, I guess, or relative expert in their own field.
Sure.
Like they knew enough to get stuff done on their own in their own field. And I don't think there was really any other applicants that like focused on iOS as intensely as we do. So we didn't learn that like technical skills in that respect from the other people applying, but we definitely learned, about living on our own, all this other stuff through everyone who's going through the same process.
Okay, that's fascinating. Yeah, I didn't realize it was so broadly specced that.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, it was cool because we got to be like the software big shots because we make cool stuff and people got to see that.
Yeah, a little bit. So, taking the pin out, how was that pitch? That must have been. Hell.
Oh yeah, it was awful. I had an exam like the day before, and then it was the same weekend as my brother's bar mitzvah, so I missed the first 3 days of the finalist weekend, and Conrad was there, and we had been working over just a Google Doc on our pitch, and then I got in at like 8 a.m. having not slept at all in like 2 days. And we get in that morning and we look at the pitch and we're like, well, this is just terrible. We can't go up and say this stuff. And so we wrote up a new one from scratch, in, the like 2 hours we had before the pitch, and then I had to memorize it. And, it was very stressful and,
very stressful.
You guys are in your 20s now, right?
I'm 20. Conrad's 18.
Yeah.
And oh my god.
Yeah. Why did you ask?
I was 19 at the time.
No, you've got like another 10 years of doing stupid shit like this, and it's going to be awesome for you. And then you're going to want to sleep. You're just really going to want to sleep. That is amazing, though. So you rewrote the entire pitch. 2 hours before the event. Yeah.
We did. It was pretty.
Were you comfortable with it, or were you, anxious or
I mean mostly from being tired, but I was dying. I could barely think or stand up straight. I don't know.
Yeah.
it was really rough.
So the door opens and you walk in, and is this your first pitch that you've ever given?
Not exactly. It was the first of that type in front of that many people. So
right.
Yeah.
And what's going through your minds?
What were we thinking about? I remember just standing in like a shower in a dressing room, just like repeatedly reciting the speech from my iPad and trying to correct it. And then the weirdest thing was because they try and it was ridiculous. They had this like documentary crew because they were like making a documentary for a web series about the fellowship and the application process. And so they have these cameras around and these people are filming us. And I'm just like sitting in a like shower stall.
In the
like,
shower?
Well, it was in this dressing room and the shower thing was wide open. I don't know.
It was quiet, yeah.
And the worst part is I'm standing there like nervously, like crazily reciting this speech over and over again. And then there's like other people like in the same shower stall, like doing the same thing.
Yeah. I'm sitting there timing and then we're like, you know.
Yeah, we're trying to time it to make sure it fits in 2 minutes. And
yeah. I love that you're being filmed in the shower and the only thing you care about is like, does this fit in 2 minutes?
Yeah, basically.
Did it fit in 2 minutes?
It did. It did. It fit in 2 minutes. And they had this like stoplight thing on stage. So while you were standing there, it went, you know, yellow and then red when you had to leave. And then, so because there was 42 minute pitches because every single team had to come up. So they had to keep it moving. So, yeah, it fit within 2 minutes and we said it and people seemed to think it was all right. So.
How did it feel when you get out, you know, when you left the stage?
Felt pretty great just sitting there. We were pretty, I think we were like midway through. So we missed everyone that came before us. And just because we were purely exhausted, we kind of missed everyone that came after us too. Cause which was a shame cause we kind of wanted to see their presentations, but it felt really awesome just to relax. Yeah.
Did you feel, was it more that you were pleased that it was just over with, or did you feel that you'd actually pitched the company and the product well?
I think we were happy with how it went.
Yeah.
I think we were amazed that we had pulled it off. It was a tough time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So clearly it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what'd you make?
Well, we had, so this was in like May, but if you back up a couple months at this hackathon at University of Michigan, which I don't know if you guys are probably familiar with what a hackathon is, but maybe everyone who listening, you know, isn't. So it, you know, it's basically an event, sometimes really big, sometimes really small, sometimes for students, sometimes for people at companies, where a lot of people get together and hack, which is basically just making something new in a very limited amount of time. And then usually there's like prizes for, you know, the top hacks. And so we made Workflow as a hackathon project and we actually won first place at the whole hackathon, which is pretty cool because University of Michigan, well, MHACS is the largest student hackathon. So there were like 1,600 people there or something. So it was pretty crazy for us to get that.
Yeah, we actually have the version of Workflow that we built to hackathon. We have it archived, and we sometimes, you know, play with it just to see how far it's come. But it's also crazy how similar it is. Like we still had the drag and drop. You know, we built it in 30 hours. We had the drag and drop. It was not as good as it is now, but the basic concept is there, which is really cool.
Yeah, so we basically went there and just worked our asses off for like because it was a 36-hour hackathon, I think. And so there were four of us, and we worked just so hard. We knew coming in exactly what we wanted to do. You know, we wanted to make Automator for iOS. And we each got about 3 hours of sleep over the 2 days and worked really hard to make something that worked.
So why Automator for iOS?
Well, you know, there's a thing when you go to a hackathon, you kind of want to make something that's new and interesting, that people haven't really seen before. But also, you know, could be something that's actually useful. And it just seemed to be the right combination of those things. And it was something that we were all genuinely excited about. And when we were talking about working together, I was just talking to Nick over Facebook Messenger and we were brainstorming ideas. And Nick actually said, hey, you know, what if we did something like Automator for iOS? And I was like, wow, like I was going to say the exact same thing. Like I literally had it written down in my to-do list of hackathon ideas to work on something like that. And so, yeah, it just worked out well.
So was impetus just the notion of automation or did you have a specific idea of how to implement it?
Well, oh, go for it.
I don't think we had some ideas of how to implement it. I mean, there's like URL schemes and the pasteboard. But we hadn't initially come up with the idea of the content graph that we have today. We just like the idea of being able to connect your apps together to accomplish tasks that haven't been done and, you know, can group between these types of data.
I was so excited when we came up with the idea that I spent the next, like, 2 days not going to classes and just writing down, like, all the ideas I had. And so we have this, like, 3-page Google Doc with, like, just lists of actions and things we could look into and Mac stories articles that we wanted to look at to make sure that we were, you know, pulling the things off that people actually want to use.
I should say that we actually are fortunate enough to have Tichy from Mac Stories with us on this very episode.
Oh, hey guys. I forgot to introduce him. Thank you for having me. I've been quiet just listening to the reading story of my favorite app so far on iOS. So that's why I didn't talk. So, but pleasure to be here, Rene and Guy.
Yeah, it's a full house.
It is, yeah.
Were you trying to solve user problems or were you trying to create something flexible? Like, what was the impetus, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm trying to frame that question in I don't mean to be dismissive of it as a product, but I want to know kind of where you were going with it as a notion.
Yeah, no, I mean, we definitely, you know, our goal was really to make something that was flexible and extensible and cool. And, you know, we were optimizing really at this hackathon. I mean, we wanted to make it really good, but we were really also just optimizing to have the best possible demo so that when we showed it to people, they were really excited about it. We definitely, you know, haven't – our focus in developing workflow, you know, is rarely to solve a very specific problem. It's, you know, to make a tool that people can use to solve problems for themselves. So which is maybe a fault because it, you know – It could be better serving people in terms of finding really great ways to use it, and you know that's something that we still, you know, really need to work hard on.
Oh, that's heartwarming. That's what. No, I mean, everybody that puts any kind of piece of software out in the world is like, yeah, that could really be better. Kind of. I'm sorry that you know the sharp edges.
Everyone sees their own flaws.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. And that's it's heartwarming that you guys want to do a better job. I think you did an amazing job. Federico.
Yes.
You're an avid user.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, the floor is yours.
Well, I remember when they won the hackathon. I think it was January. 2014. A few people, like after you published the first YouTube video with the demo, like I got a couple of people within minutes tweeting me, "Hey, look at this video! Someone is making the kind of app that you wanted." Because I've been asking, I guess, in different ways for some sort of automator for iOS, and so I got people last year, "Hey, you got to take a look at this video." So I watched the video, and to be honest, I didn't really believe it because it looked like one of those things that it's too good to be true. And I thought, okay, this must be some sort of jailbreak tweak because I knew that some of the guys were involved with the jailbreak scene. So I just assumed, yeah, this is never going to be an app. Sorry, guys, just. To be honest, I receive these kind of emails and videos every day, so I tend to be skeptical when something looks so amazing and it's just a video. So a few months pass, and I'm looking right now at the original email that Ari sent me at the end of July. Hey, Federico, we talked on Twitter a few months back about workflow. We're getting closer to being ready, and there's a screenshot from July, and the app looks strikingly similar to the final version. So this was the first beta in July, and you sent me, I think, the first build in maybe 10 days, and I was blown away. I mean, it was just like the video. And it was even better because it was full of actions already. This is August 2014. And it was full of actions. And it was, I remember it was, I was like, how can these kids make something so like complex? And I was trying the app and I was talking to my friend Mike. I was just telling him, there's this bunch of kids, they made this crazy app. And Mike is my same age, he's 26 this year. So we're pretty young, I think. And he was like, yeah, kids these days, you know?
I thought it was a bunch of Apple engineers when I first thought it. I thought it was a story, like we left Apple, insane. We made this startup, and now we're doing this.
Yeah, it was insane. So in August, they started something with these builds. And I think they refined the app until the iOS 8 launch. And over the past couple of months, especially, it's become the app that I use the most, I think, on my iPad every day, every single day, either whether it's for publish articles on Mac Stories, to create screenshots, to upload the screenshots. I wouldn't say everything because I use other apps, but I do a lot of important things in workflow. And to me, the best part is really the kind of integration that they built with iOS 8 with extensions. And again, not to dismiss this because or to say this is a great app because it's made from very young people, but it's really impressive to me at this very young age they can make this sort of this sort of tool. And when I was their age, I was in college wasting my life, and I dropped out after a couple of months, and instead these kids are making this crazy app. So it kind of puts things in perspective for me.
Yeah, well, when I was their age, I was a total idiot too. But I think the work speaks for itself, and I'd rather just focus on that. So you kids can get the fuck off of my lawn.
That was great.
No. Here's
this lawn is snow covered anyway.
No. Here's an honest to God question.
Please.
Back in the days of PCs and coming up as the way I did, and I know Renee did, and probably Frederick. We used to be able to mess with our personal computers. In fact, you were obliged to in a lot of ways. You had to mess with your extensions because your Mac wouldn't boot, or your rexec.bat, or your config.sys.
God, the registry.
Yeah. And, when I started writing software, I don't even want to talk about it. There was a lot of rough stuff. But you guys came up during, or you at least intersected at the time of the iOS devices, like portable devices, which I think that's where that's remarkable. What made you think that an iOS device could run the kind of software that you designed for it? Like this kind of, you picked a great name, like workflow, like what? Really? Like, clearly that had been in the back of your minds. What made you think that this was an appropriate piece of software to try to write for the App Store?
Well, I think it's a really good question. There's two answers. One is that if you look at the kinds of stuff that all three of us have been working on, whether it's jailbreaking or the other kind of stuff we've done, it's really around how can we take these devices and make it so that you can do more stuff with them. Jailbreaking is all about taking control of your iOS devices and being able to install whatever the heck you want to put on there that maybe Apple doesn't want you to do. Workflow is similarly, how can we take these devices and actually through an App Store app open them up so that people can use them to do whatever they want. And okay. The other reason I liked the question is because I you started by saying, hey, you know, when we were kids, we had these PCs that we were messing around with and doing interesting stuff with. And if you look at what kids have now, their parents are much more likely to hand them an iPhone or an iPad or some other type of device rather than a desktop computer. And so, you know, another thing we've been excited about when building workflow, or really it's the same thing, is just giving people the ability to tinker and learn about how computers work to some degree, because workflow is kind of like programming in a really simple way. And so we think it's pretty cool it's a pretty cool thing to be able to work on to try and give people that.
So I agree. And this is my backdoor into the history that you guys didn't want to spill at the top of the show. Why do you care about that? What was your introduction to programming originally? Like, why make an app that is all about learning how to manipulate a computer?
Why not make the next Flappy Bird? No, seriously.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, yeah, no, but I mean, you guys made it, like, you know, I really admire what you've made. I think it's you've done a terrific job. You clearly had an intent, and it seems inspired by, you know, the way that maybe you learned, or the way that you wish you had learned. And I'm trying to get at that. And I don't know how to crack that nut, but I will get there. Believe me, we'll do like an 8-hour interview. Like, you're not getting out of here before that. That's not good.
Before all of you are drinking age.
Yeah. No, it's not about drinking age.
No, I
think it's an honest to God question. You made an app about creating software, and yet I'm not sure why. Like, what was the driving force behind that?
Well, we can talk about how we got into programming, and maybe we would find some interesting reason. Maybe we should just go and have each of us say real quick what our introduction is. But I'll also say that personally, it's just really exciting to me. It's just a really exciting thing to work on. I really enjoy it.
So how you got into programming has nothing to do with what this app is, right?
I wouldn't say that necessarily.
All right. Yeah. No, I'm turning into combative mode now.
Okay.
So I started with my dad, not actually programming, but taking apart and putting together computers. I guess I was fascinated about how, like, you just put these random things together and all of a sudden it just works.
Right.
And I kind of like took that over into software. I mean, I started out with Perl, a scripting language, just writing simple scripts. But when I eventually got into iOS, what really intrigued me about jailbreaking is the idea of plugins. Like the idea that you can take a piece of it, modify it, change it, and plug it back in was really, really empowering, I guess, because I could, you know, customize everything. And I guess the cool thing about workflow to me is that, you know, every action is itself, you know, its own little plugin, and you can just rearrange them, add new ones, combine them. You know, it's just awesome to be able to do that. And I guess I took that from jailbreaking and kind of, you know, put it in the App Store app.
I love that. I think that's a I'm searching for the words, but yeah, I get it. Like the idea that you can add, and I hate the word, but you know, you can add value to something that already exists is, you know, it feels good. It's, you know,
it's noble.
It's noble. It's enticing, and
totally. That's awesome. Yeah. So For me, I was always weirdly just obsessed with whatever electronics or computers were around since I was really young. My parents always tell me the story of how when I was like 1 year old or less, my favorite thing to do was have my grandfather hold me up to a light switch, and I would just spend like a half an hour turning it off and on repeatedly. And I just
you know what? I want to buy your grandfather a drink because that guy, deserves it.
He was very patient. And yeah, I don't know. I guess I was going to say something after that, but I don't remember what it was. I don't know. I was just playing around with Windows and installing random software and screwing everything up. And I was really – I discovered Netscape, the web browser. I was like really enchanted by it for some reason. Probably because we had AOL at the time, and it was like you had to – I had like parental controls, and so I couldn't – I remember I made my first website when I was 7, and my parental controls on AOL actually blocked my website. So I couldn't access my own website through AOL, so I had to figure out how to get around the
Which rule blocked your website?
I don't know. I think they had like a
coded by a 7-year-old.
There was like a content filter. It was just like, hey, like we're only going to allow you to go to like disney.com and like nothing else.
All right.
Whatever.
Yeah. it was a white list rather than like a black list, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then I was just fiddling around with stuff. And then I guess, like I said before, you know, eventually, there was a couple years when I had a PC and I really wanted a Mac, but I couldn't, you know, I was like 10, so I couldn't afford one. So I spent a couple years just trying to perfect themes for Windows that would make it look like a Mac. And I actually started a website around it and found a bunch of random people online who were interested in that. And it was pretty silly. And then, you know, the jailbreaking was sort of the, like I said, the same thing of how can we take these devices we already have and make them do just all this crazy stuff. I remember the first time I got an iPod Touch and I jailbroke it for the first time in October 2007. And I was just, it was like the craziest feeling to be able to run apps on my device because there was no app store at the time and you actually needed to jailbreak it. And I was just so blown away by the fact that I could put different pieces of software on this thing and use it for whatever I wanted.
Yeah. And so for my situation, I'd say, I like vividly recall when I was super young, I didn't have a desktop computer, but my dad would like bring home these used Windows 2000 computers from his work that they're just giving away for free. And I didn't have an internet connection on that, but like, I would just go through the control panel and like, look at every single preference you could possibly tune on your computer. And I feel like that translated into workflow somehow, because with workflow, we tried to like, and jailbreaking, you know, the iPod Touch, there's only like 10 apps that it originally came with, but the device was capable of doing so much more. And so with jailbreaking, you're able to expose all of these like small things your device could do and like maximize its potential. And with workflow, I feel like we've gone through like almost every feature that iOS has and tried to integrate it into the app somehow, just so you can expose all of that potential too.
That all makes sense. I like it. No, it's like, you know, Spider-Man, radioactivity, spider, little bit of a bite, and, you know, we get this app. It really does. Like, I get it a lot more now. It does seem like a kind of app that you might expect would be rejected by the App Store policies. Yeah. You know, none of them listen. They all listen. It's fine. Why, you know, how did you feel about submitting?
We were very optimistic when we submitted the app, and
no, you weren't.
No, that's not true.
Really. You were really optimistic.
No, we were very confident. Right.
I don't think you did anything that crossed any of the rules, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, we didn't do anything that was against any of the rules.
Right.
And so we submitted to the App Store, and we read all the rules like a billion times over, and we were real careful, and we submitted it, and we were like, oh, this is going to be great, and we were gearing up to launch alongside iOS 8, and then we launched 4 months later. Three.
But so much wiser.
Was there a bit of back and forth on that?
Yeah, there was a bit of back and forth on that.
Which? So
consider that
we're not going to talk about that. Is what I'm guessing, right?
My review was ready. When did iOS 8 launch? September.
September 11th? No.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
I think the 18th.
Yeah. I kept my to-do to publish workflow review for like 3 months in my to-do list, and it was really making me upset.
September 17th.
If
I'm not mistaken, I believe the first line of your review was like, I've been waiting to do this for a while. Like there was I believe you set up some kind of tension where you were like, oh my God, I've been sitting on this for a little bit and I just want to tell you about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was in 2 months of testing and 3 months of a draft in my Dropbox, the review, ready to go. And I had to change all the screenshots again before the release, which is really upsetting considering my weird obsession with status bars.
Yes.
And screenshots. I had to change all the screenshots and change a few paragraphs because of the changes. But I think in the end, it was worth it because the app was much better in the end. So,
do you think, theoretically, would you rather go through a process before your app comes out, or would you rather get like the app go out and then someone else go, hey, wait a minute, and then have to go through it while the app is live? I mean,
no, you know, it's actually a good question. It's definitely, you know, we had some app review troubles, but in the end, at the end of it, they said, hey, at the end of it, we knew that they had given it a really, really hard look and that they were actually okay with the stuff that we had. So that's reassuring because we know that, you know, versus most of the apps that maybe they spend a couple minutes with and say it's okay, and then maybe they realize there are problems down the line. We got flagged early, and though we had some troubles, we're on solid footing now, which is reassuring. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk about what the app actually is.
Could be
relevant. We're about 45 minutes in. And, you know, Flappy Birds, Crossy Roads.
Worky Flows.
Who knows? Federico, why don't you kind of...
Yeah. So it's really like Automator for iOS in the sense that you have these actions and you can drag actions from a left column and you drop them into this canvas on the right. And these actions, when they're connected together, multiple actions, you create a workflow. So it's a series of actions that lets you do something, anything you can think of, and in an automated fashion. So you can, for instance, let me find screenshots from my camera roll and send an email with all the screenshots. And instead of doing all the manual process yourself, going to the Photos app and you pick the screenshots and you send an email, you press a play button in a workflow and the action, all these actions run automatically for you. And the main concept is that of being able to create like these recipes for any iOS feature, native feature or native app that exposes some sort of a menu or functionality. So workflow can, for in the latest version, 1.1, which came out last week, you can access calendar data, reminders. You can send email. You can access photos, screenshots. You can open links in Safari. You can open multiple links, which is a crazy feature that they added that I want to ask about. You can create your own shortcuts on your home screen with a custom icon to launch these workflows more quickly. And in general, you can you create all these custom menus yourself. And what's even crazier, and the really insane part, I think, is that you can use all these workflows in any app, in any iOS app, with the Action extension. So when you're into the Photos app, instead of going to Workflow, the app itself, to run a workflow, you just hit you open the share sheet and you find the workflow and you run it from there. You can run work. I have workflows that I use every day from the Photos app, from Safari. You can use a workflow from Tweetbot, Twitterific. Anywhere there's a share sheet, you can open the workflow and you can create your own stuff. You can go to the gallery and download workflows from others. And I think in general, if you can imagine Automator, like the basic idea, the basic interaction with iOS features, so the camera, the photos, Safari, and Action extensions, you get the basic idea. There's really nothing like it on iOS. And I guess what's kind of similar would be Editorial, but that's a text editor. This one is much more broader appeal. Like it tries to connect any iOS app, any iOS feature, and that's really impressive.
It's like having a virtual Sal Segoian right in your phone.
Zing. Hi, Sal. Just to be clear, that was not an advertisement.
No.
That is actually, I'm excited about the app, but I think it's great. And I'm so excited that I love this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I've always loved the idea of scripting. Man, Renee, we've got to get Sal on the show at some point. Yeah.
But I would say that workflows, this year was amazing because extensibility completely changed how I use my phone and then workflow completely changed it again. They were both transformative. Workflow sort of took a little bit of extensibility, but a lot of things that we'd been missing for years.
Totally. Yeah. I'm just remembering back to, we were lucky enough to be able to go to the WWDC keynote and, just sitting in that keynote line for, hours and hours and hours, just like repeatedly asking the question, are they going to have interop communication in iOS 8? And then they didn't, but they did have this and it was pretty awesome. And it was kind of interop communication.
It's, sandboxed interop extension thing.
Totally.
Well, I honestly think that given the limited communication possibilities that you guys faced, I am amazed that you managed to cover so much. I think it's an incredibly noble goal. I think that the fact that Federico finds it so valuable to his daily work is remarkable, and you should be commended for it. Not a lot of apps manage to reach that level, and you guys have really nailed it. And as much as that I think that your app is possibly more niche, I think it should be more celebrated by the people that would listen to this kind of show. And, you know, you guys have done a remarkable job. And I want everybody to sort of appreciate it, really.
We were even looking whether you could start using Workflow to help kids understand the basics of scripting, because it's so...
screw the kids.
You've already told them to get off the lawn, and now we're going to have to... No, but like, because it's drag and draw. Like, there's a lot of things that code.org does that helps kids sort of take direct manipulation and make it into scripts and sequences. And I think this is very similar.
There's a lot of things that this app does that I just find amazing. How did you guys come across the canvas?
What do you mean?
Well, like the way that you lay out the order in which events happen.
Sure. You mean in terms of composing the workflow or in terms of running the workflow?
Yeah, well, composing the workflow first, yeah. Primarily. And sure. Just from a UI introspective perspective. And then maybe the details after.
Sure. We were really obviously inspired by Automator at the outset in terms of having the two-pane interface and dragging and dropping the actions from one side to the other. But there were a lot of challenges, a ton of challenges to be solved in bringing that to iOS. Just from the implementation perspective, there's no drag and drop, on iOS, which is difficult both in terms of making something that's really easy for people to use and in terms of actually implementing something that's really nice to use.
Just for the listeners, on the Mac, there's the notion of beginning a drag and you get something on a pasteboard, clipboard. And when you drop it someplace else, there's a notion of like you've copied this from or you've moved it from where it was to where it is now. On iOS, not so much.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Drag and drop between apps on the Mac is really powerful. Hopefully maybe we'll see something like that on iOS someday. But for now, we worked really hard at the hackathon, and then we sort of scrapped everything we did at the hackathon and started over on the drag system. And then another thing that was funny is that we designed the app very much for iPad. It turns out that a lot of people use it on their iPhones, many more than use it on their iPad. We were really surprised. The iPhone version we made was kind of an afterthought. We were like, how can we? In fact, we were thinking of doing iPad only at the start. We were trying to say how can we bring this UI to iPhone, and Viral came up with this really cool side-scrolling idea of how you can have both panes as different tabs. And so it worked pretty well. So, we were happy it worked out, but we were shocked at how many people used it on iPhone instead of iPad.
So this may be basically don't answer if it's going to be awkward for your business. What are people doing on the iPhone that needs or where they prefer your solution to other solutions?
Animated GIFs.
No, well, you know what I mean. It's
I'm
going to guess some kind of audio recording. That's my guess. But
wait, say it again.
Audio recording?
Added audio recording in the latest version 1.1. Yeah. Which is pretty cool. But I don't know. The iPhone is the device that you always have with you. People use it for so many things. The things that I automate the most using Workflow are things about my calendar and directions and getting places. Mm. And I use my phone for all those things. And with Workflow, I can do them faster and it's more fun.
Do you have metrics?
Yeah.
Don't share them if you don't want to.
What kinds of metrics?
iPhone versus iPad. And what kind of use cases are favored by each?
That's a good question. We haven't really segmented our use cases by device type, which is actually something – it sounds very obvious in retrospect.
Mm-hmm. But
a lot of, like, one of the most popular workflows in the gallery, for example, is Home ETA, which gets your location, gets the travel time from wherever you are to home, and then pre-fills a text message saying, you know, I'll be home in 30 minutes. And it's just to do that on an iPhone is very, you know, quick and convenient because you're getting in your car or you're leaving your building. But, you know, doing that on an iPad is just more cumbersome just because your iPhone's always with you when you're doing these kind of tasks.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah,
it's interesting because, like, a lot of these things that save you taps are, you know, more popular on iPhone just because you can do less with a smaller screen and with fewer with less time. So for those ones that you know, pre-fill messages and quickly open apps, shortcuts, it's just very, very convenient on the iPhone to have that.
Yeah, and then on the iPad, we'll look into it, but I guess the use cases are probably more like the Federico Vitici, you know, productivity-oriented things. Although, you know, people try and do that stuff on their phone too, which is pretty crazy.
It'd probably be similar to the handsets themselves, where you have communications optimized on an iPhone and then the productivity stuff optimized on an iPad.
Right, right.
Yeah, actually, when I wanted to show workflow to my mom a few weeks ago. So I have a funny story. My parents got a new dog. And for some reason, I wanted to show her workflow. I cannot remember why. So I asked her to pose for a few pictures with the dog. And I asked her to, like, change the pose every time. And she was like, why do you want to do this? And I was like, I need to take multiple pictures. So I took multiple pictures thanks to the workflow that I have to, you take like three or four pictures and then workflow creates a GIF. And so I took a bunch of pictures of my mom and the new dog. And then I showed her the GIF. And she was like, oh, it's like a moving picture. She's not really techie in the sense that she knows what a GIF is. And so she called it a moving picture. And I told her, yeah, you can create moving pictures on your own. So I let her download a workflow from my App Store account. And a few days later, she she asked me, what is an extension? Because I think she was messing around in the app and she didn't really get the idea of an extension. I think she came across the share with extensions action. She was just playing around. But I think because to her, being able to create these GIFs on your own, you cannot really do that on iOS natively in the camera, in the phone, or in the Photos app. So even to someone who doesn't necessarily do productivity stuff, or that, you know, she doesn't need to send my dad a text message with a home ETA, but even the basic ability to take, you know, a bunch of selfies or a bunch of pictures and make a video or make a GIF, it can be eye-opening in a way. She was really surprised. She was like, how can I do this on my own? And I think, so even for normal people, to call them in this way, there is a use case, I think, for the app.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The GIF was really nice.
What's next?
Hello?
Yeah, and we're going to leave that silence in.
Oh. Are you asking us what's next for workflow?
Yeah. Well,
I thought
in general.
Yourself, yeah. What's next for what we should talk about? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no. no, I was asking you.
Oh, my God, so much stuff. We're working on a lot of exciting stuff. We've gotten a lot of great feedback from people on, you know, things people want, you know, all kinds of new actions and but, you know, in the next couple months, we're working on new ways of running workflows, which is going to be pretty crazy. You know, obviously, workflows syncing between your devices is a huge priority that we want to get done really quick. A lot of people are asking for that. We're working on a version of workflow for the Apple Watch, which is pretty crazy.
We have another product called Desk Connect that we have some exciting stuff planned for. Yeah, that's the roadmap for the next couple months.
Are you excited or do you have some kind of trepidation about the Apple Watch?
Oh, I'm really excited. I think the Apple Watch is going to be really cool. I don't know. I'm just really excited about it.
Why?
And you know, I think I guess it sort of remains to be seen how big the how big the market is and how many people actually buy the things, especially you know the very first version. But I think the ecosystem of putting apps on your Apple Watch is going to be really cool. I think it's going to be a big deal.
Federico, how do you feel about it?
About the watch?
Yeah.
Myself, actually, I'm more excited about the health and fitness stuff than necessarily about productivity. Like in the past year, I've been on a sort of I want to monitor everything about myself kind of behavior. I started tracking like
a little bit, right?
Yeah, I've been like obsessed. Like I started with like the crazy stuff, like food logging and water logging. So I kind of scaled back from that, but I bought a bunch of devices, like a smart scale and a fitness tracker. So I've been I'm really excited to see how the watch can fit into this sort of new obsession of mine. But then I'm seeing this like these previews workflow, and there was a few weeks ago Todoist, which is a to-do app for iOS. They're all sharing these previews for Apple Watch versions, and I'm not yet sure whether I will use the watch. Should I just use my watch? Use my phone that's in my pocket? Like it's a big question mark for me. So that's why I think I'm more excited about the fitness stuff, because it's something that I cannot do on the phone. Right. But I'm curious.
But with a watch, you can run your workflows from across the room. You could be sitting there sipping espresso and just run a workflow.
That's exactly what I'm gonna do. like the Inspector Gadget watch. I can just sip an espresso and take a selfie with the watch.
When I saw the phone, I was immediately enticed about the software I could write for it. When I saw the watch, I'm still scratching my head, which is not to say that it's not going to be a success. And if anything, I think that speaks to the limits of my imagination.
I think when you first saw the phone, you saw it in person. I think, the things will become clear once the watch actually comes out and we all get to use it. I think we'll all have some more really awesome ideas of how you can integrate it into your life or how it might help you.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I don't wear a watch every day, so it's kind of hard to imagine all the use cases I'm going to, use it for, but once I actually get a watch and have workflow on it, I'm sure I'm going to think of something very, very useful.
I think there's also a minimalism aspect to this. Like with the phone, like a lot of people wanted to make full-on computing software right away. With the watch, they're not sure if a notification is enough, if a glance is enough, if they actually need a WatchKit app, and how much the system software will do compared to how much people will want to go hunt around a small screen for third-party apps.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll have a slow start until the actual on-device SDK ships.
Till Guy's rose gold watch shows up on his balcony.
No, I'm not going to get rose gold. Come on, it's white gold.
White gold.
Sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah. No problem. There's going to be two waves of software. There's going to be the first stuff, which is going to be pretty awesome, and then there's going to be the real SDK, which is going to be even more awesome. So,
yeah. So we'll see. Anything you guys want to plug? I'm really, really happy for you that you've had the success that you've had. This is not the kind of application that I would expect to have the success that it has had.
Because it's geeky?
Because it's geeky. It's the quality is way up there. Like, believe me. But I mean, I think you were featured by Apple. People are taking note of it, and I think it's a remarkable piece of software. And I'm really happy that it's getting the attention it has had.
Thank you so much. We've been thrilled.
No, I'm thrilled. It makes me feel happy that. You know, we're still kind of in an environment where this kind of meaningful, interesting new approach to software can gain some traction. So I think that's great for all of us. And anybody listening to this, just go buy it right now.
Go gift it to your friends.
Yeah. Buy eight.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to lose like seven of them. So just buy eight.
Keep them high availability.
They're going to be tucked under the couch. You'll never find them. Buy eight. It's fine. No, you guys have done a remarkable job.
Thanks.
Do you have any closing thoughts in mind as we wrap this up?
I had one thought. And I just wanted to say that, you know, like workflow wasn't built in a vacuum. Like there are a number of other great utilities on iPad and iPhone, like,
right.
You know, editorial and drafts that allow you to you know, automate certain workflows in text editing, things like that. And it just, you know, all of these products just get better and better every year after year, which is just what's really exciting for me. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah, you have to remember my own heart there. Like, yeah, there's a lot of good apps out there. We just picked on you. anybody else? Federico, what, like, come on. You got to have something smart to say. You've already got, you know, it's your shtick.
I mean, I'm excited for the guys because they are crazy enough to make stuff happen. You know what I mean? Like many times you ask a developer, hey, can this be done? And the developer is like, yeah, no, it'll never get approved by Apple. And these kids, they're crazy enough to try. And so you gotta hand it to them. They're insane in a good way. And I don't know how like they're always awake. Well, like when you send them a message, for some reason they never sleep. Like people make fun of me that I don't sleep. I do actually sleep. These guys, they don't sleep. But seriously, I think they showed like this is an app that doesn't exist on OS X. I know that there's Automator, but there's not there isn't this kind of modern Automator, you know. They have shown that you can still do new stuff on iOS. With a paid business model while helping people with an actual, you know, useful application. And that doesn't happen much often these days. And I think that's like everything about workflow, the story, the team, the utility of the software itself is a positive message, I think. And it's kind of, I mean, beyond the utility that of the app that I use every day, I think the story is a good one. So... congrats to the guys.
Congrats. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I totally agree with that. Except you called them kids again. But you know,
sorry.
Whatever.
It's not a problem.
Little boys. Wait, just call them little boys?
Young men.
That's
just wait until the next 8-year-old makes an app and they'll feel as old as we do, guy.
No,
and this all comes around.
No, I'm just calling them out. I totally agree with that. It's a remarkable app. I wish you guys all the best, and I really can't wait to see what you guys do next.
There's some pretty awesome stuff in the pipeline.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. The notion and the direction that I feel you guys are going on is it's after my own heart. I love it, and you know. Anything I can do to support you, I'm in there. I think this is a wonderful first effort, and I'm really looking forward to how things go.
Sweet. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Shouldn't Frederico be tucking you kids into bed now? Or what?
If we want to keep following all the awesome work you're doing, where can we go? Where can we find out more about not just Workflow, but you guys?
Yeah, that's a good question. So you can head to probably our Twitter account, which is twitter.com/workflowhq. And then if you look at the description, it has all of our Twitter handles if you want to follow us and see what we're up to. If you want to chat with other Workflow people, we have this subreddit at reddit.com/r/workflow. So that's a fun place if you want to talk about Workflow. And yeah, that's about it.
Or you can just go over to Teachy's site and read all about his amazing Workflow. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. If you haven't already, read MacStories.net's latest article about Workflow 1.1, because there's a lot of awesome stuff in there. We're really thrilled.
Thank you.
It's MacStories.net. And just remind everyone where you are on – I mean, I know everyone already knows Teachy, but how can they find you on Twitter?
VITICCI on Twitter. That's Vitici. And MacStories is also on Twitter, MacStories.net. And that's about it. That's where I spend most of my days. I mean,
Thank goodness for Rome. Yeah, besides the espresso bar.
Yeah, which is actually in my kitchen. So.
You can make fun of their age again, guy, before we go if you want to.
It wasn't me. I didn't make fun of it. I was trying to...
God. You were trying to shield them from age-based discrimination.
Yeah, I really was. I mean, that's, you know... Smart people are smart people.
You should see how mean he is to the octogenarians we have on this show.
Yeah, meaner to them. Those guys, fuck them. Fall into a bus. You're done.